When our children were young, parades were a very big deal. So for many years, we took our girls to the annual Labor Day parade in Naperville, Illinois, complete with marching bands and floats and scout groups and fire trucks. People lined up 10 deep on the curb, and the festive mood of the crowd filled the air. It was always a fun time and always easy to get caught up in the happiness and enthusiasm of the crowd. And when you think about it, those very same feelings must have also been present along the road to Jerusalem on that day so very long ago. Word of mouth traveled fast, and many in the crowd had already witnessed the amazing miracles or heard the stories of Jesus. And people were in a festive mood anyway, for they had gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. So the arrival of Jesus simply added to all the excitement. And they greeted him with hope and with great joy, for their deepest wish was for deliverance from Roman rule, and they saw in Jesus a leader with the potential to do just that. For they had seen how many people were following him, and noticed just how many people sought him out, which led many then to believe that he would also have the power to liberate them. Swept up in the enthusiasm of the crowd, they shouted their praises, and they dreamed of a day when they would be free, becoming once more a people in charge of their own lives, able to freely worship their own God. However, those hopes did not pan out, for Jesus had not come to lead a military campaign, and the means of his arrival should have provided the crowd with a clue. Because Jesus did not ride in on a mighty horse shouting political slogans, but instead he rode in on a lowly donkey and proceeded to teach and preach as he always had, continually pointing the people to the truth and the love and the mercy of God. So, the next parade that Jesus took part in was a shocking one. Instead of being carried by a donkey, he carried a cross. Instead of being greeted with shouts of praise, he was mocked, ridiculed, and put to death. And instead of being a vessel of the people's hope, he was a symbol of their abject failure. Once again, the Romans had the upper hand, and since Jesus was no longer useful, he was abandoned by all but just a few of his most faithful followers. To hear both of these stories on the same day, then, allows us to see the striking contrast of Jesus' final week on earth and the misunderstanding that accompanied him throughout his ministry. Jesus was a savior, but not the kind of savior that the people thought they needed. For he came not to liberate them from Rome, but to save them from their own selves. He came not to deliver them from political oppression, but instead to free them from their own sinfulness and death. And although Jesus did die a horrible death, it was not because he was a victim led unwillingly to slaughter. Instead, he was the suffering servant who went willingly to his death in order that we might have everlasting life. So the end of his physical existence marked the beginning of his eternal mission to save us all. Clearly then, these two sorts of parades that Jesus participated in, both the triumphant entry into Jerusalem as well as the stumbling walk to the cross, had a much bigger meaning than was readily apparent to those who witnessed them. The people along the roads on those days had only a limited vision. They were narrowly focused on their own needs and beliefs and never dreamed that Jesus' mission actually stretched forward into eternity. Because even though Jesus had preached his message of salvation over and over again, it took even his disciples a much longer time to fully understand who he was and what his life actually meant. And although many centuries stand between that very first Holy Week and our lives today, we, like those earliest witnesses to Christ, also struggle with the larger implications of Jesus' life and death. We too are swept up in the ideas and enthusiasm of the crowd. And we too are limited by our own needs and by our own beliefs. And even with the advantages of history and scripture, we still sometimes lose sight of the larger message of God's love and salvation for all. And instead, we focus on what we think the meaning should be and how it might best suit us. Which means that we actually lose sight of Jesus and instead get wrapped up in ourselves, our lives, our culture, and our own immediate needs. And Jesus trudges on, but we miss him because we are all wrapped up and caught in the depths of the crowd. So, today is a day to focus, because the combination of that triumphant parade into Jerusalem with that desolate march to the cross puts us in a place that demands our attention and challenges us to look at Jesus and ourselves in a new way. And in a very real sense, we can place ourselves on those roads where he went by. So, when we stand with the crowd yelling and waving palms, what are we thinking? And when we stand with the crowd and see him stumble by on the road to the cross, what are we thinking? As we witness these two events, how are we challenged? How are we changed? For even though parades are usually fun and entertaining, today's stories take much more thought and some deep reflection. For they lead us into Holy Week and the opportunity to journey with Jesus through his last days. And we are called to do that. We are to be intentionally focused this week on the passion and death of Jesus Christ. We are to participate in a way that deepens our understanding and reaffirms our faith. So, let's not carry our palms home, put them aside, and start looking for Easter baskets. Instead, let these palms be a reminder that the journey has just begun. And this particular parade has a very long way to go. So this week, may we each make a special effort to walk each day with Jesus. Walk each step of that long and difficult road that he took. We are to be there with Jesus. Amen.